Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collin.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to
The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, that's right. It's the glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights at 6 p.m. when the Troy Murphy Show graces the 2SR bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 7 p.m. as we look at the weird, wacky and wonderful news from home and abroad that happened this week, as well as, you know, some of the more serious news stories that we all really need to know, you know, so we can function as adults in this adult world, even though we might protest and prefer not to. There are some things as adults we really need to have our head around, and that's what we discuss here on the show tonight. Big thank you to Jamie Sims for taking on the first hour of Drive. Brilliant as always, my friend. And on a personal note, you know, I think I have someone trying to scare me at the moment on Instagram. They're playing the long game and I'm playing along just for the shittest and the giggliest. You know the type of scams I'm talking about, you know, where the old guy gets scammed by a beautiful young woman from a different country who falls in love with them, you know, that kind of thing, and then needs money. But this is kind of in reverse. Let me explain. So there's this guy online, and I've looked at his profile, looks fairly normal, limited detail and images. He's a little older than me, but not by much. And he messages me. Him, he writes, "Hello, how are you doing?" Me, I reply, "I'm good, thanks, how are you?" Standard reply. Now, you know, I don't know who he is, but I work in media and have done my whole life, and I meet lots of people. And I don't always remember the people who I meet. And also working in media, when someone contacts me, I always try to be nice when I respond. So, you know, I did the standard reply, "I'm good, thanks, how are you?" He writes, "I'm good, thanks." And then after a few pleasantries, I guess you could call it that, he goes on to say, "Well, at the moment, I can't have anything serious due to the nature of my work and the distance barrier. That's why I want a companion." Then he wrote in brackets, "baby, that will make me feel relaxed online. It's just a daddy thing that has benefits and rewards. Interested?" What? Someone is asking me, a 40-plus-year-old man, to be their baby? Me being also a skeptical person, I reply by going, "Is this for real? Why me?" He replies, "We seem to be on the same page. My only texting app is Telegram," which is another social media platform, different to Instagram, but it's a chat thing. "It'll be palatable and honoring. We talk on there to chat better. Just click the link and message me." And that's when red flags go off. Well, red flags went off from the beginning, but, you know, there were some serious red flags going up now. First red flag, the Telegram app. No, that's a no-go for me. It's a right-wing crazy zone. Not going there. Second red flag, click a link. If someone tells you to click a link, you don't click a link. It's social media 101 for 2020s or whatever we're in now. Third red flag, someone messaging me, a 40-year-old man, to be their baby to their daddy. Now, which for those who don't know, baby and daddy relationship dynamic is where the daddy pays the baby to essentially be of service. But babies are generally much younger, good-looking people. I'm not saying that I'm not young and good-looking, but traditionally, if there's cash involved, it involves a very much younger, like I'm talking 20s, you know, broke young people who are, you know, don't have wrinkles on their face. The convo went on for a little bit because I refused to join Telegram and I debated that while, you know, why I wouldn't join Telegram and I also told him, well, you're happily chatting here on Instagram and there's no problem with you replying, so why not stay here on Instagram? But he kept insisting Telegram, and I also did some more digging and I found out that he wanted to offer me $3,000 a week to be his baby, but only if I joined Telegram. And that's where the conversation is at the moment, because I refuse to join Telegram because I know it's a scam. But I don't know, and I've never heard of scams being run on Telegram as an app. So I'm a little bit, I don't know how it would work on Telegram, but after a quick Google search, there is a warning that there are on the Telegram platform. It allows users to create bot accounts, which scammers can use to rapidly target vulnerable, legitimate accounts, not quite sure how, by using a bot feature known as X-Files that can steal passwords, session cookies, login credentials, and credit card details. This is all according to research done by Intel 471 in July of 2022, so only last year. So there is option for scamming on the platform, which is, again, why I'm hesitant. So I won't be joining Telegram, but damn me if I've shot myself in the foot to earn $3,000 a week, $3,000 a week, just to chat to a weirdo on a text and have to do anything physical in return. But chances are, if someone's offering you money on social media or wants money from you on social media, it's a scam. Dear. Anyway, let's move on as we do celebration of the day. As always here on the Troy Murphy Show, every day is a celebration, as today, the 12th day of the month of January in the year 2023, we celebrate Kiss a Ginger Day. Yes, fiery redhead, pale skin and eyes of blue and green. These are the defining characteristics of some of the most amazingly attractive human beings in existence. That's not from me. That's from the webpage for Kiss a Ginger Day. Although I don't disagree, redheads can be very attractive and are very attractive. If you are a ginger, be careful. I might come kiss you today. But of course, with consent. redheads were once held as being holy, as they were believed to have stolen the very fire of the gods to make their crimson locks. They were also demonized as being devil spawn as well. There's a bit of a history when it comes to redheads. But Kiss a Ginger Day is, as the website suggests, your opportunity to steal a kiss from one of these amazingly attractive generic rarities. Of course, with consent. Don't just go up to a stranger with red hair and pash them because today is Kiss a Ginger Day. That's not cool. Which, of course, brings us to this week's top five. As being Kiss a Ginger Day, we're going to do the top five celebrity gingers, boy edition. Sorry, that's just the way I swing. Starting with number five.
Five.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yep, He's a ranger, and he's number five on our top five list of celebrity gingers.
Four.
Michael Fassbender. You know, young Magneto from the X-Men movies. He's also a Carrot Top.
Three.
Rupert Grint, best known for his role as Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter series. He's a freckle face indeed.
Two.
Eddie Redmayne. You will know him as Newt Scamander in Fantastic Beasts. He's a firecrotch too.
One.
And number one, Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi himself. He's a big red, so big that he is at number one of our top five celebrity gingers, male edition. On the show this week, ooh, big show this week. Big show, a lot of serious stuff, but we'll also have a little bit of fun as we laugh at a film critic whose review of the new film Avatar The Way of Water is so politically correct that it's laughable. It involves criticism of blue people being played by white actors. If you stay for just one thing for the show, stay for that. It's hilarious. We'll put our serious hats on as we talk the latest updates for the Indigenous Voice to Parliament. And in the court of public opinion, we bring down the gavel on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, as well as our weekly regulars, Local Shire News, Have Your Say, and some of the strange news stories that you may have missed this week, plus so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the show, responsibly. But just to be safe and so I don't get in trouble, don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky Bear's a Troy Murphy show. Lucky Bear's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. Thanks to autocorrect, the word duck is way more used than it ought to be. Now for a quick check of the weather. Tomorrow, Friday, a partly cloudy day, tops of 28 degrees with light winds. The weekend, Saturday, partly cloudy with top temps of 28 with a slight 20% chance of a shower in the morning and afternoon. Sunday, tops of 28 degrees. It's going to be a sunny day with a chance of a thunderstorm in the hour to west in the afternoon and evening. And Monday of next week, as we all go back to work, a partly cloudy day with tops of 28 degrees with a 30% chance of a shower.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under, are you ducking serious? I said ducking. Duck. Quack, quack. A film critic has accused the new movie, Avatar, The Way of Water, you know, the recently released Avatar movie, and you won't believe this. She accused it of cultural appropriation. The woman's name is Kathia Woods. And she claims that director James Cameron only cast white actors to cosplay as aliens of color in the blockbuster hit. Now, in her tweet, she wrote, and I quote, At some point, we got to talk about the cultural appropriation of Avatar and white actors are cosplaying POC, people of color. It's just a mess and so not necessary. And no amount of visual effects or CGI is going to erase that. What? Firstly, Avatar is a fictional movie about aliens on a planet far, far, far away. It's all fake. They have no culture. And if they did have culture, it's made up. You can't appropriate fictional culture. Secondly, one of the main cast, the female lead, actress Zoe Saldana, I hope I pronounced that correctly. She's an actress whose father is Dominican while her mother is Puerto Rican. Now, Zoe also has Lebanese and Haitian roots. Get that word right, Troy. With regards to her racial identity, Saldana has stated publicly that, and I quote, "There's no one way to be black. She black." So let's have some fun. Let's tear the shreds of this film critic's idiotic tweet. Join me as we laugh at idiots on the internet here on the Troy Murphy Show. Again, I quote, she said, "Cosplaying people of color. They're blue aliens from a fictional planet. I repeat, they're blue aliens from a fictional planet in a fictional movie. It's the cinema. This is not the documentary channel or a biopic. Hell, if you want to call the movie out for appropriation, call the storyline for the first movie out for ripping off the Native American story of Pocahontas. The stories are identical. But calling out white people for cosplaying blue aliens from a fictional planet as cultural appropriation, what is this woman smoking? If we really want to step this one step up further on the ridiculous notch, where was this woman when the Smurfs movie came out? Again, blue fictional characters, POCs, being played by, you guessed it, white people. Look, I think, look, serious hats on for a second. Okay, I'm not so serious hats on for a second. I think someone needs to contact director James Cameron, you know, the creator of Avatar, and get him on the record to say why he didn't go to X-Moon Pandora, where the indigenous humanoid species called the Naviv, the blue people, live, and get them to come here to Earth, Hollywood, and star in the movie themselves and not white actors in CGI. Yep. Now, not so serious, but serious hats are on. We're calling out James Cameron here on the Troy Murphy Show. He's got to come out and answer this serious question. Out of control, people. Out of control. You know, I suggest a protest or a walkout. You know, we need to stand as white people in support of people like Kathia Woods, a black woman, and all people of color, especially the blue ones, so they are represented by their own culture, their own race, and their own people. And Rhett, coming up next, we do put our actual serious hats on as we discuss the latest on the Indigenous Voice to Parliament and how, in my opinion, it's being set up to fail.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business. With an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan, our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. For all the Star Wars fans out there with so many teenage Padawans before Order 66, I'm sure at least one of them must have discovered force fapping. Let's check out what's happening around the Shire. Monday, January 23, the Sutherland Shire Council is hosting award-winning scientist, university lecturer and published author Dr. Rob Brander to present an exciting and educational seminar aimed at keeping you and your family safe in the surf this summer. Dr. Rob Brander, Australia's best-known surf scientist, aka Dr. Rip, will give a presentation at the Washington Lounge at Allura Surf Life Saving Club, where you can learn how our beaches work and behave, from the massive swells that roll in during big storms to how to spot a deadly rip current. For more information, email scienceofthesurf@ssc.nsw.gov.au.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
Thanks for tuning in to the Troy Murphy Show and listening live, or if you're listening back on demand, thanks for listening on demand. Great new feature here at 2SSR. As we put our serious hats on for this segment, as we discuss the voice to Parliament that we're just not going to be told about. I've spoken about this before here on the show with some great feedback from those who heard my position on the voice to Parliament, as I outlined the problem that I have on this, the Indigenous voice to Parliament referendum that will take place later this year. And my issue is that Australians won't know the exact model of the Indigenous voice to Parliament and what it will entail when we cast our ballots at the upcoming referendum. The federal government has received advice and is acting on this advice from an advisory group of constitutional expert lawyers, and they have recommended to our government to deliberately not take a specific model to the referendum. And in my opinions that I've shared before, I consider this deceptive and disingenuous from the federal government to go about it this way. Prior to any referendum on any issue, we should know exactly what we're voting for. Otherwise, we might just get an Indigenous voice to Parliament that is just tokenistic and has no real effect for change for Aboriginal people, our First Nation people. Change needs to happen. We hear the stories of life in Aboriginal communities and how it needs to be better. Change needs to happen. This voice is potentially a great avenue for change to happen. But will this constitutional change, as we write this as constitutional law, an Indigenous voice to Parliament, just be tokenistic with no real effect? That ends up costing taxpayers billions of dollars each year and is just a waste of money. Or on the other side of the coin, will we get an Indigenous voice to Parliament that is divisive based on race, giving just a small percentage of the Australian population more say than others about how the country is run? Because the voice to Parliament, it does state that the the voice will have say on issues that relate to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. But what does that entail? We don't know because we're not being told. If that is the case, this is not in line with the democratic society we live in. Now, from what I understand, the proposed amendment to the Australian Constitution states that the voice will make representations to Parliament and the executive government on matters relating to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people. That's its primary function. But will this help or will this hinder? So here's the update. As we know, the government has said that it would not fund the debate, either the yes or no case. But the problem we're now seeing is more deception, as social media platform Facebook has started banning ads that are in favour of the no vote. I don't know exactly what these ads are or what they exactly say in them in their entirety, but I have a problem with any side of the debate, no matter yes or no or right or wrong, being forced silent. It's just wrong in principle. But being told what we can hear and what we can't hear by an external entity, especially from a different country, is extremely destructive in the process of having debate and voting on a referendum to constitutional change to our law. Now, according to reports, Facebook removed a series of ads calling on Australians to reject the proposed constitutional reform after RMIT FactLab labelled a claim in the ads, just one claim in a series of ads, that the voice would provide Indigenous Australians with special rights as incorrect. The ads were paid by the conservative activist organisation Advance Australia and claimed that the voice would be divisive and divide Australians by race. And I quote, "will have one race of people with special rights handed to them." Again, as we stand, we don't know exactly what the voice will entail. It could just do that. We don't know. And concerns like this from Advance Australia, whether you like them or you don't like them, are relevant in constructive debate. If this statement by Advance Australia is in fact wrong, then it should be taken to constructive debate and they should be held to account to what they say, not banned. That's not how debate works. There is pressure on the Albanese government to reveal its plan for what the voice will entail, as public opinion and opposition to the voice is growing, which is dangerous for a referendum because traditionally throughout Australian history, votes of referendum on the Constitution tend to fail and not go in support. So they're sort of shooting themselves in a foot that's already been shot. Now, as we know thus far, that the wording of the proposed constitutional reform says that a new body would only make representations to Parliament on matters of policy that impact Indigenous people. The broadness of that policy definition is the subject of ongoing debate in the media, in Parliament, and at, I assume, barbecues? Maybe not. I don't go to barbecues. But if I was, I would be discussing this. Maybe that's why I don't get invited to barbecues. Which is why I don't think that Advance Australia is wrong in their statement. The statement that they said, we'll have a one race of people with special rights handed to them. Here's the spanner in the works. Where does it stop? You give one group, one race, a special voice to Parliament. Why not all? We do live in a world where there is a push for all to be equal. And I understand, you know, we need to raise some levels of equality so it's better, so we're all on the same level. But when you give special privileges to one, you set a precedent, and that means that it has to be given or should be given to all. And then does it stop after race? Does gender jump on the bandwagon? Does age jump on the bandwagon? Does disability jump on the bandwagon? Side note, this week we saw the Prime Minister express concerns about misinformation about The Voice being spread. Here's a tip, PM. The information of what The Voice would entail, if you release that, there would be no cause for misinformation. It will be out there in black and white for all to see and all to know and for all to make an educated opinion on, based on what has been given when they go to the ballot to vote. All we know thus far is that the Voice to Parliament will be an independent representative advisory body for the First Nations people. It will provide a permanent means to advise the Australian Parliament and government on the views of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people on matters that affect them. But like I said, this could be just tokenistic and cost the Australian people millions each year to fund. Will it have the ability to effectively help implement change? What constitutes as advice on matters that affect Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people? And what effect will that have on other Australians? Because, you know, there are laws that affect all Australians, including Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Will this Voice to Parliament allow them to give advice on issues that affect everyone, because they also include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? And will their voice be heard louder by our government than the rest of the country, who only have their voted representatives to Parliament, which Aboriginal people already have? See, this is where I am on such a slippery slope. And I would like to have, when coming up with my opinion on whether to vote yes or no, I would like more information on this. There's a lot more to cover in this, and I've already yapped on for long enough. But as I've said before on this show, as it stands now, I am going to vote no, only because I don't know what the Indigenous Voice to Parliament will be, especially when there is suggestion that the advisory board could expand from just advice to bigger roles and responsibilities. What does that mean? Bigger roles and responsibilities beyond advice. You know, with this segment, I'm not trying to sway anyone's vote or convince anyone to vote either way. I'm just trying to educate and update on what the current stance is. Because as we get more information, I might vote yes. I might change my mind. That's the way opinions work. We're allowed to change our minds. I'm not going to die on the no hill. I could vote yes, but not because of public pressure due to voting no and that being racist. But just like all Australians, I need more information. So we do what is right for all of our country, including our First Nations people. And in my opinion, as it stands at the moment, the Voice to Parliament for the Aboriginal people, our First Nations people, is being set up to fail by our federal government. Stick around, because coming up next, another serious topic. We will do some fun in this show today, I promise. The Court of Public Opinion is in session as we discuss the case and bring down the gauntlet on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire Local News.
Today in Sutherland Shire Local News, three men in their 50s were rescued from the sea off the coast of the Royal National Park on Wednesday morning. They were taken to Sutherland Hospital, where they are reported to be in a stable condition. New South Wales ambulance paramedics responded to reports of an overturned boat with people in the water near Wedding Cake Rock at around 9:45 a.m. after they were spotted by a hiker on the coastal track. New South Wales Ambulance Inspector Andrew Bibby said it is believed that the men had been fishing when a freak wave caused their boat to overturn. Also in local news, sleep-deprived residents at Miranda may be offered alternative accommodation to escape the noise of a nearby 24-hour roadworks. Transport of New South Wales is considering the move and says residents are also being offered earplugs, sleep sound machines and Bluetooth eye mask headbands. The cause of much frustration is a storage compound next to Sylvania Road between the Kingsway and Pinnacle Street that has large trucks arrive and deposit their materials as frequently as every 10 minutes throughout the night. And finally, in local news, a further grant of $4.9 million from the state government will enable the proposed clifftop walk at Hungry Point Reserve in Cronulla to go ahead. Construction is planned to begin at the site later this year. The project will provide the missing pedestrian link between the Esplanade and Darook Park. Cronulla MP and Attorney General Mark Speakerman announced the grant to the Sutherland Shire Council through the Places to Roam stream of the government's Open Spaces program. The government has previously provided the first $2 million of the $6.9 million cost. And that's what's happening in Sutherland Shire local news.
Hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open your with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hey guys, Kieran here with the Antiques and Alternate Show, playing you Aussie alt and older antique songs. Join me 6 to 7pm Fridays for a bit of fun and a fresh new quiz every week. Tune in then.
2SSR FM 99.7. For everything off air, follow The Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. Contrary to what we are taught as children, lying is an extremely important skill to have as an adult. And across the Shire, on January 16 to the 21st, it's Cat Adoption Week. Cats and kittens will be available for half-price adoptions, which include microchipping, lifetime registration, de-sexing, their first vaccination and vet check, as well as worming and flea treatment, as well as a collar and council tag. The shelter is currently inundated and at capacity, with so many beautiful cats and kittens needing homes and families. If you were thinking about adopting a cat or a kitten into your family, now is the time. New year, new cat. For further information, contact the Sutherland Shire Council Animal Shelter team via email animalshelter@ssc.nsw.gov.au or call 97100401.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
Brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen, them, they and all, for a long rant because the Court of Public Opinion is in session. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle need to stop. Yep. I'm on that side of the fence, and I know for certain that I am not alone. No siree. And I believe that the majority of the court of public opinion agrees with me, and here's why. Actually, to be honest, I don't even really know where to begin with this topic because so much has happened in just 1 week, and it's all a flow on from previous salacious scandals and inconsistent contradictions. This week, well, I guess if we go all the way back, it all started with Prince Harry, or is it the former Prince Harry? Because, you know, he bowed out of his royal duties. No, this week, let's talk about this week. He released a book. It's called Spare. And he's done a whole series of TV interviews as part of the media campaign accompanying the release. Now, I'm not going to read this book. I've read some excerpts that have been released. You know, I'm time poor. If I'm going to read a book, I'm going to read a book that I want to read. This I don't really want to read, especially when I found out what's in it. I think I've probably found out all the juicy bits anyway, which I'm going to talk about today on the show. Now, prior to the book release, there was the Netflix documentary, you know, with the, a lot of people hate watched it, but a lot of people were hook, lined and sinkered. Gullible people were hook, lined and sinkered into believing their hype and victimhood. I can't get over the fact that the majority of things that they accuse their family of doing, the royal family, the institution of doing, they do themselves in their own way. You've just got to look at it and critically analyze how they word things and then what they do to realize that they play the same game. And worse, they play the victim card. You know, and oh, did you watch the documentary? I hate watch the documentary. And when I saw them play the victim card, when they were going to get stuck in Canada at the beginning of COVID and had to be rescued by a friend who owns a private jet that flew to them, picked them up and flew them to live in a mansion in Hollywood, wherever they ended up. And people I saw online fall for that, oh, woe is me act. Seriously, people, do we not remember the news during COVID? Do we not remember the horrible tales of human atrocities that people face for months and months and months on end? You know, people across the seas in China having their doors glued shut so they couldn't leave. The pregnant woman in Melbourne who was arrested for making a Facebook post, whether you agree or not with her post and what she said. It was still a pregnant woman being arrested for something she said on Facebook. And something more gruesome than that is not being discussed at any great length. And I blame the government for covering this up and their COVID findings up, as recently reported in the ABC. We're not talking about the mental health aspect of COVID. I know, or the effect of COVID on people's mental health, I know more people who have committed suicide because of lockdowns than died of COVID. But that's another story. Back to Prince Harry and Meghan. As we were all expected to feel sorry for them as they flew on a private jet with all that space, with their dogs on board, with a whole family, to go live in a mansion in Hollywood. I assume it was Hollywood. Give me a break. What's going on? How are people so gullible to fall that? Oh, poor Harry and Meghan. They had to fly in a private jet to escape Canada. Which, from memory of the documentary, they were living on an island in Canada and they were complaining about paparazzi in boats going around and taking photos. And the footage that accompanied that, and I think it was mobile phone footage, so, you know, it could have been filmed at any time. It was just one boat going past. Oh, the pressure! Oh, the pressure! Give me a break. The doco, this book, and the Prince Harry interviews have just become a slinging match of entitled bratism and contradiction. Point in case, there was one part of one of Prince Harry's recent interviews where he was asked to address the allegations he and Meghan Markle had made about the royal family being racist. Now, this is an excerpt from an interview with Tom Brady for ITV, where the prince said this.
In the Oprah interview, you accuse members of your family of racism. You don't even...
The British press said that.
Right.
Did Meghan ever mention that they were racist?
She said there were troubling comments about...
About his skin colour.
Right. Wouldn't you describe that as essentially racist?
I wouldn't, not having lived within that family.
Right.
So again, going back to the difference between what my understanding is because of my own experience, the difference between racism and unconscious bias, the two things are different. But once it's been acknowledged or pointed out to you as an individual or as an institution that you have unconscious bias, you therefore have an opportunity to learn and grow from that in order so that you are part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Otherwise, unconscious bias then moves into the category of racism.
Now, before I talk about the blatant contradiction of that U-turn that he pulled in the interview, let's go back and take a listen to the Oprah interview for what was being referred to and what was said there.
You certainly must have had some conversations with Harry about it and have your own suspicions as to why they didn't want to make Archie a prince. What are those thoughts? Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of his race?
In those months when I was pregnant, all around this same time, so we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
And let's talk facts, not feeling, because that's what this is all about, feeling. Let's talk the facts. Let's not forget about the award they received and accepted in person, which validates the reason why they were giving it. You remember the award, the Ripple of Hope Award, the one they won for, well, according to the website, it says exemplary leaders across government, business, advocacy, and entertainment who have demonstrated an unwavering commitment to social change and work to protect the advance equality, justice, and human rights. That's what the award is. What a name. But it's the same award that was given to them by Kerry Kennedy, the daughter of Robert F. Kennedy, who thanked the couple for showing up and explained that they were receiving the recognition because they spoke out against racism within the royal family. That's on record. That award that they received for speaking out against racism in the royal family. But no, according to Harry in his latest interview in the U-turn, the award for speaking out against racism within the royal family, that's not racism. That's just unconscious bias. Pick a lane, mate. Pick a lane. Talk about backtracking while you're trying to rewrite history to make yourself look like the good guy and still play the victim card at the same time. Let's talk about another contradiction in the book, in where he states his brother struck him.
Meg's difficult, he said. Oh, really? She's rude. She's abrasive. She's alienated half the staff. Not the first time he'd parroted the press narrative. He wanted me to hit him back, but I chose not to. But again, so much of the relationship between me and William and the way that it played out was because of the narrative or the distorted narrative that was being pushed through the British press and some people within his office that were feeding him utter nonsense.
In the book, it has been revealed that after the fight, he went straight to his therapist. In the book, The Spare, Harry writes, and I quote, "I apologize for the intrusion," I told her. "I didn't know who else to call. I told her I had a fight with Willie. He knocked me to the floor. I looked down and told her that my shirt was ripped, my necklace was broken." That's what he said to his therapist straight after the fight with his brother. Here's the contradiction. Around the same timeline as all this, as stated in the Oprah interview, Meghan Markle said that she was told she couldn't get help from a therapist despite having suicidal thoughts. Markle recalled to Winfrey in the interview, and I quote, I was told I couldn't, that it wouldn't be good for the institution. That's going to see a therapist for suicidal thoughts. But Harry seems to have a therapist that he can call on a whim. But Megan wasn't allowed to because that would look bad for the, and I quote, institution. Look, I don't want to speak out against anyone's mental struggles, but I find these two admissions in contradiction of each other. Why didn't Harry just give his number for his therapist to Megan and not tell the firm? Another one of my problems with the book, The Spare, is that Prince Harry is airing way too much personal dirty laundry, which is problematic for the royal family that many around the world love. The problem I have with it is that it's one-sided. And he knows that his brother and his father and the institution, the royal family, will not respond to give their side. So he gets away with the world knowing his version of the truth. And if we know anything, there's always two versions of the truth. I also take aim to what he said at the British media. Now, of course, I will preface this by saying the British media are no saints when it comes to the royal family and the history of reporting on the royal family and how they treat the royal family. But here he is publishing stories in a book about the royal family that the media, respectful media, wouldn't dare publish should they have the information, especially private conversations between senior members of families. Royal correspondents would not do that. Respectful royal correspondents would not do that. Yet he still calls them out for all that they have done. Again, another blatant and blind contradiction. There are so many things in the book that are just too much information. TMI, too much information. Who thought, this is outrageous, who thought it was a good idea to publicly write about losing their virginity as a royal, as a public figure? Some things you don't need to know about, especially when you go into detail about losing your virginity behind a pub to an older woman who said, or who he says, treated him like a stallion. Or his drug taking and hallucinations talking to a bin. He even revealed in the book that his brother is circumcised. Too much information coming from a senior member of the royal family about other members of the royal family. Or just in general. I don't want to know that stuff. No one needs to know that stuff. Unless, you know, you're a close friend and we're having a laugh about how we lost our virginity. That's the only kind of people you talk to about issues of that, or hallucinations, or taking drugs. You don't publish it for the world to know. Uncouth, not cool. My biggest question is, why has he done this? Why do so much damage to your own reputation and to your family's reputation, especially a public reputation? On one hand, he says that he still believes in the monarchy and hopes that he can one day return to the fold, and he holds the door open for discussions of reconciliation. And on the other hand, he does this? And he expects, you know, them to give him a cuddle and tell him all is fine. If my brother did this to me, I would never, ever speak to him again. I've not spoken to one of my brothers for far less for a long time. Hey, but that's family. Clearly, you know, it's all for the cash splash. And he doesn't care who he hurts on the way through. He is damaging his cause. And it's evident, because in a recent public opinion poll in the UK, two-thirds of British people dislike him. That's gone up. He used to be number one, favourite royal. Now two-thirds dislike him. The damage has been done now. And that's also clearly evident with those who oppose the monarchy. Here in Australia, oh gosh, Republic pusher and the former leader of the Labor Party, Bill Shorten, has taken a swipe at the royal family and issued a message. Oh, this is just despicable. He issued a message of support for Prince Harry. And in the same breath, he called for Australians to become a republic. This here is a contradiction itself and a classic Labour moralistic behaviourist high road card that they play. You know, they do the whole, oh, poor Harry, you know, poor Harry and his abuse and all the struggles he goes through. And then they use that to push an agenda. It's like, look at the hand while the other hand does something else. Let's have a listen to what Shorty said.
But at another level, this is just family gossip, and it reminds me that this family are the head of state of Australia. So it really, I think, puts a question mark around our governance structures, where we've got a sort of feuding family on the other side of the world who seem to really not like each other at the moment very much. But they're actually people, technically, the head of Australia. So at one level, it's gossip, it's scintillating. At another level, it's a shame to see a family bust up. But perhaps at the deepest level, why do we still need to keep borrowing a dysfunctional British family to be the head of state of Australia?
Talk about using someone else's pain to push your own agenda. This is deceptive and despicable. If he really cared about Harry and wanted to show his support and jump on the moralistic bandwagon high road, he'd push for the support for the family to heal and repair and for them to accept Harry and Meghan back and for all to be roses and glitter. Don't use current drama to push years of failing at pushing for Australia to become a republic. That's his agenda. It's his agenda for years. He's always wanted to for Australia to become a republic, and it's like he's gone, rah! Oh, there's a little segue here. I can loosely link the two, and I'll jump in front of a camera and I'll do it. You can tell in Bill's voice there's hesitation in there, and you don't need to be one of those people who analyzes voices or understands human behavior to hear this hesitation, to understand that he doesn't believe in the tripe of the segue that he's spewing out here, you know, using the royal family feuding as a reason for Australia to become a republic. He doesn't believe it. He can't believe it. Deep down, he can't. He's playing politics and he's failing at it. Much like the election he lost. Look, at the end of the day, and I know this is a very long segment, and I could keep going on more and more about this because there has been that much published about this week. But at the end of the day, we are oversaturated with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and I kind of hope it goes away. Well, I won't lie. In one sense, I like that it's here because I get to giggle and laugh and talk about it on the show. But on the other side, I hope it goes away because of the reputation of not only Prince Harry and Meghan Markle being ruined, but the royal family and the institution too. Maybe, here's an idea, maybe the book should, or maybe the follow-up book should be called Spare Us All, Please.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downing. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it. The Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of The Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen back to any of the ranting and raving from tonight's extravaganza, listen back on demand by clicking The Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the 2SSR.com.au website homepage. Coming up next, the encore broadcast of The Convo, as David Tunnicliffe chats with Jenny Ware MP, federal member for Hughes, to discuss her attraction to politics, maintaining a work-life balance, and some of her experiences of life and everything along the way. Until next week, bye for now.
Hear what they said on the radio?
No, I missed it.
I had to drive the kids to school.
I was at work.
I was helping with the sausage sizzle.
Catch the latest news updates, listen to podcasts, join us live with the Community Radio Plus app.
Hear what they said on
the radio? Yeah, I was listening.
I was listening in the car.
Yeah, I was listening on my phone.
On the radio? I was listening when I got home.
Whatever you're doing, take us with you. Community Radio Plus, your home of community radio. Download from the App Store or Google Play.